Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I really am deeply grateful you chose to join me on this April 27th day, 2019. We're going to look at passivity. Are you a passive person? Probably depends on what we're talking about here. The very word passive means accepting, allowing, or what happens to others without active response or resistance. That's how it's defined. And we're going to look at passivity and does it have a place in our life, in our spiritual practice. I hope giving has some place in your life because without your support, as you might know, that was a really good segue too, huh? This radio program would not exist. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts that Aspire is allowed to continue to be on the radio. And I hope that you will consider being a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, down at the bottom there, you will see why support Aspire. If you click on that, it will give you all the information regarding your tax-deductible gifts and how they will be acknowledged and what you get for being a sponsor, because you get some really wonderful things, access to my podcast, video cast, and commentaries during the month, your message of the month, which can be sent to you or downloaded if you so want. It's really a wonderful little offering I give each and every month on some spiritual quality or effort that we are making. It coincides with my breath journal and my monthly discourses, so they're actually a package that you can study. Anyway, this message of the month is very valuable if you're working on yourself at all. And of course, you get access to over 122 of my TV discourses, including, Nobody Likes You Anyway, The Eightfold Path of Buddha, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, The Beatitudes, just to name a few, From the Heart of the Tao. There's so many there for you, and all of them are there, devoted and dedicated 24/7 to helping you whenever you need it. Whenever. So I hope that you will become a sponsor and help sustain our efforts. I really do. We need your help. What does it mean to be passive? Well, people are passive about donations, that's for sure. There's a lot of people that listen to this radio program. They're very passive about giving. There are a lot of people who see difficulties in the world that they could be helping in. Volunteering, doing things, they don't do it. What are we passive about and what are we not passive about? That's an interesting question. Passivity towards our thoughts, not really. Passivity towards our desires, our ambition, our pride, not really. We're pretty active in that, pretty aggressive. So what is this passivity? What are we really talking about here? So I gathered some questions that came to me over the past 4 or 5 months, and looking at the questions over and over, it's obvious it has something to do with being passive. First one comes from Carla. She does not tell me where she lives. I feel passive about my inwardness. That's interesting, which makes it difficult for me to meditate, she says. Is there any way I can have a passion for meditation, Carla? No, Carla. Meditation, authentic meditation, is not about desire and passion. Quite the opposite. It is about simplicity. It is about moving into silence. It is about moving into a kindness. It is about not being in the rush of thought, of desire, of ambition, of pride, of vanity. All those things I bring with me in my passion. So passion is just over-the-top emotionality. That's the only way I would describe it. It is obsession. It is convolution. It takes your concentration and puts it in a place where you can't really deal with anything other than what you want. It makes for desire, ambition, and pride, like I say, to be huge in your life. So passive about your inwardness. Most people are. I'll tell you, Carla, in all the years that I've been a teacher, some 47 and going on, there are not many people who are much interested in what's going on in there. They are afraid to find out what's going on. People don't want to know. It's like going to the doctor. Most people don't want to know. They just don't want to know. And they'll take it on the chin rather than deal with it while it's small inside, whatever it is they're dealing with. There's a certain pride, an element of pride in all of us that undermines our entire living. And we're not passive about that at all. We're very, 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 obsessed. That would probably be the best word. We're obsessed with staying away from whatever it is that would reveal to us the meaning and the significance of our life and what we're really doing. We don't want to know what we're doing. What was it? you can't handle the truth. It's true. You know, it really is. We have a great deal of difficulty handling the state of our inner being. We'd rather patch it up, ignore it, or cover it over with more obsession and compulsion. Now, I know this doesn't lead to people listening to me and going, yeah, he's right. I got to stop that. No, you're not going to stop it. But somebody's got to say something. You can't just cloud it over and say it doesn't exist. Someone has to say, look, your passion and reasoning for your passion and what you are trying to hide in your passion and what you're trying to do meditatively don't work. Meditation is about a cooling process, as I like to think of it. It is about letting go of the mind, the emotions, the breaking of the bond of the relationship between the body and the mind, believe it or not, and finding harmony in the infinite that lives inside you. When a person does not have a soul, they cannot be congruent with harmony. They can't. Harmony is something that eludes them. So we have a great big difficult time with the whole idea of what it means to be passive towards our desires, our ambition, our pride, our vanity. The human body is failing. From the moment it's born, it's failing. The mind kind of catches wind with all of this, and the emotionality of the human body as it starts to deteriorate, sends messages to the mind, and the mind starts thinking, well, we got to do this, we got to do that, we should go here, we got a bucket list, we got things to do before this whole thing falls apart and the bottom falls out of the whole lifetime. The mind is standing there trying to keep everything together, but the body, due to its emotional patterns and the limitations that are there, of the humanness of us in this world, it just starts to fall away. And for this, we get very upset. We get deeply passionate. We get upset. We get befuddled and confused, and we have contradictions in our life. We create dualistic thinking, and then before you know it, we submerge ourselves in the matter of our condition rather than ascending, transcending into consciousness and realizing what the body is here for and what it's really all about. We don't want to know all that. We just want to have fun till her daddy takes the T-bird away. And that's about as far as it goes. And I know very few of you want to hear all of this, but it is the facts of life. And it is something that none of us are immune to. One way or another, we all have to face this. So therefore, being passive about the meaning of our life and subjecting ourselves to that passivity for the meaning of life. And what we're here for is counter to the meaning of being passive. In meditation, the whole effort is to be passive towards our thoughts, towards our emotionality, even towards our body, and to become the witness of everything, just the witness, watching, without criticism, without judgment. To develop that witness inside of you is truly a life achievement. And you can do this, Carla. You can do it. It takes effort. It takes practice. It takes love. Yes, it can happen. But you got to want love more than wanting what you think you love. And that's what's so important here. And this is where people fail. They only want what they love, and they only think that what they love is the most important thing in their life. And it's not. Love is the most important thing in your life, not what you point your love towards or what you say you love or what you think the source of your love is. It has nothing to do with any of that. And there is no way I can help you understand all of that until you practice meditation and you practice being in meditation, living in a meditative life, which does not include passion. If you feel passive towards your inwardness, as you put it, you're going to find a very difficult life ahead of you. And you're going to find conditions and circumstances coming and going. You're going to be confused at times. Other times you're going to be elated. You will create for yourself all sorts of difficulties in the path of your life. You won't know why they're there. You'll think God did it, or friends did it, or husband did it, or children did it, or the world did it. You'll come up with all sorts of excuses. But the truth of the matter is, we did it. We do it to ourselves. We shoot ourselves in the foot. So I say, become passive. Just practice it. Practice sitting there, wanting, as Buddha said so beautifully, nothing with all of your heart. Want nothing with all of your heart. I hope that helps you, Carla. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's very hard for people to imagine doing something like that. It's just very, in fact, for most people, it's nigh on to impossible. They live off passion. Okay, the next one. Jason in San Diego. How do we become passive about things that are terrible in our world? Absolutely terrible events. I don't see how that can be spiritual, Jason. Jason, I'm not passive about events in the world that are tragic. I'm not. Jesus wept. He said, "How much longer must I be with you?" He had had his fill of humanity as well. We've all had our fill of humanity. I don't sit and look at difficulties, sickness. I work at hospice. It is not a place where you can always be passive. I am passive about the malarkey that is going on, but I'm not passive about the ignorance. There is a lot of ignorance in us, and the events that happen in this world are tragic due to the fact of not being passive, but being insecure, about being indifferent. And there's a difference between passivity and indifference. When you see things in the world and you have scored due to these tragic events, you have made money, big money, you've gotten great things, you know, for your own life. It cracks me up. We have more water now than we've ever had in a long, long time. And my water bill just went up because They want more money, and they can't blame it on the drought, but they want more money. So you look at it from the point of view of, wow, no matter what we do, nothing is the way we think it is. And there's always someone out there trying passionately to get what they want. Now, if I'm indifferent towards all of this, then I don't help people. There's no way I'm going to change the water bill. But what I'm saying is, when I'm working at hospice, I'm indifferent to the circumstances and the conditions that I am cast in, but I am very, very interested in helping people, and I'm not passive about that or indifferent. My indifference lies in knowing what I can change and what I can't. And you've got to learn, what are those things you can change and what is it you can't? One of the most bitter lessons I ever learned in my life was when I was in my mid-30s. And I had been a teacher since I was 21. So, you know, we're looking at about 12 years, and I suddenly realized who I could help and who I couldn't. And for the most part, I couldn't help anyone. And the kind of help that most people wanted only hurt them more deeply. The more a person gets what they want, the worse they become. It is true. I have learned this vividly. People would come to me and say, I want healing. So if they got a healing, I'd ask them, well, what would you do different if you got healed? Oh, I'd love my grandchildren or my children better, or I would change this and change. None of it had anything to do with service to humankind or even understanding the bigger picture of life. Absolutely none of it had anything to do with any of that. It had to do with, I'll have a better life and I'll appreciate it better. Can't help them. I've had people get what they want and it was a nightmare. Indifference is when I don't care about the state of my inwardness. When you don't care about the state of the lack of soul you have, your indifference brings about a great deal of harm. You and I are here to develop a soul, to come into the state of the soul, which is the immersion of ourselves in love, unconditional love. To live as love, to be able to live in it and die in it too. But people are not interested in that. They want wealth and comfort and security, things that don't exist. I have students that live for those things. They miss. They miss everything that is deeply important to the methodology of their life. They just don't get it. And there is nothing I can do to change all of that. I try. I really do. This radio program is an effort to help you. Jason, this radio program is my futile effort to present to you things you're going to reject, you're going to be, well, not passive about, indifferent to. You won't care. You will listen to this radio program and think it doesn't apply to you, or it can't be done, or I'm full of BS. And you're not going to do it. Why? Because you probably, like most people, belong to the collective unconscious. And the collective unconscious now is huge, not only due to overpopulation, but due to government and what we are seeing in politics these days. And it is not good for people. It is not good for the country. It's not good for anything. The prejudice, the hate, the fear, the greed, the lying, it's all huge, and we're a part of it. You know, people say to me, I was at the grocery store the other day, and somebody said to me, you know, government is this and government is that, and it's terrible. And I looked at this person after hearing the onslaught of all of this, and I just said, you know, we the people are the government. We voted these puppies in there. It isn't who's in there you should be worried about. It's you who voted that person in. You know, the fish stinks from the head, as you know. So whatever is going on in this world, in this country, whatever, it has to do with us, we the people. What are we doing to change ourselves, to find that change within us? Gandhi died for it. Anwar Sadat died for it. The Kennedy boys died for it. Dr. King died for it. Now the real question is, would you and I die for it? Not. So, what can I say about passivity? I'm not passive about terrible events. I'm not indifferent about terrible events. But if I'm indifferent in me about the causes of those events, then I have a serious problem. Very serious. It's going to hurt me. It's going to cause great evil in my life. And it won't be because someone's in office or someone's not in office or whatever. It's that I don't have the strength of character to deal with my own inwardness. That's really what it's all about. Thank you, Jason, for your question. I'm sure it wasn't very satisfying. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Russell. He lives in, where is this? San Jose, right here. What should I be passive about for the sake of a spiritual practice? Wow. I remember this question. This is a really good one. Should be passive about the following things. Should be passive about what you want. You should be insightful into whatever it is you want is made important in your life. Start to look at that. Why is this thing, this whatever that I want, so important to me? Make sure it's not another diversion away from the things that are deeply important. Be passive towards the part of you that believes you can't give and forgive. Don't let a day go by where you haven't given and forgiven in some way or another, especially in a way where it dictates insight into the kind of, human character you might have. Don't let that slip away. Be passive towards your hate and your fear above all. And when you find hate and fear in you for whatever reason, learn to be passive towards the emotions that drive it. Now, if you can do those things, and those are a lot, then you will start putting into motion something very beautiful in your life, something extremely meaningful. You will realize things that your thinking could not bring to you. Your mind could not think. You will be insightful. And you will feel a deep, deep presence within you. If you listen to that presence, you will find that your intent in this life will change. And the way it will change is you will have an impression rather than thought. You won't be needing to be told what to do, Russell. You will have a sense of intent based on an impression of great love that lives within you. This great love that lives within you, if you follow it, will change the way you operate in your daily life. It will change the way you embrace your daily life. It will touch your heart and bring you to your soul. And that, my friend, is far more important than anything I could ever tell you here on the radio. And that is a big part of meditation. So there you are. You have to want love with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. These are the things that are deeply important. And most people pass them by because they're indifferent to their heart, their authentic heart. I hope that helped you. Thank you, Russell. Please forgive me. Namaste. Be back on the air tomorrow. I hope that you will join me. I hope this radio program helped in some way. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.